Nearly two decades ago, Apple announced a new jukebox software. It was called iTunes. And today, Apple has announced that in its new operating system, iTunes is going away to be replaced by another music app. In Rolling Stone, Amy Wong writes a farewell to a clunky but world-shattering icon. And she joins us now for a remembrance. Hi, Amy.
Hey, Ari.
World-shattering is a very strong phrase. So when iTunes debuted in 2001, how did it revolutionize the music industry?
It completely changed the way that people buy and listen to music, right? And of course, you have to factor in that before iTunes, there was also a brief era where the music industry was terrified that people were just going to download things illegally and pirate music
the
for the rest
era.
Of their lives.
Right.
Exactly. And so iTunes came in and sort of did two things at once. It moved the model from retail stores onto the web, and it also sort of helped ease those fears that Napster would take over.
Okay, so I asked people on Twitter for their iTunes memories, and someone named Monica Bisha said that first time I realized I no longer needed to put 10 CDs in my backpack to get work done at the library. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, to kids today, the image of fitting 10 CDs into one thing is just unspeakable. It's like so uncool.
Do you remember the first music you bought on iTunes?
I think it was probably something, you know, embarrassing now, like the Killers single or something like that.
Of course, coming out of my, that one?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, when I asked on Twitter for memories, somebody named Young Ho Park brought up a big moment in 2010 when finally the Beatles catalog was available on iTunes after they had held out for almost a decade. Here comes the sun. It seemed to acknowledge the inevitability of this platform, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you think of the Beatles as the sort of like cultural indicator of anything, whatever they say is kind of like the gold standard for the industry. Here comes the sun, I say,
it's all right. Someone named Luke Vargas wrote on Twitter, iTunes debuted when I was in sixth grade. Max Sold That Year featured some preloaded songs to showcase iTunes, including Love Shack by the B-52s. He says, the song still grates on me, but it will forever be my first digital audio experience.
iTunes came out when the iPod came out, too. Those two things were in tandem. And to this day, I know people who still say, you know, that's the iPod song because they remember it so vividly.
It feels to me like as we go from purchasing physical things like CDs to purchasing MP3s on iTunes to now just streaming, the connection to the music we listen to has become weaker.
That's so true. You essentially lease music instead of buying it. So that's the hypothesis for why live events are growing so much and people want to go to concerts and festivals more than ever. Because if you can stream things so easily and so openly every day, then you want to crave that emotional connection to an artist that you can get maybe in person or via some other means rather than just buying their music.
Is there a song from the iTunes era you'd like us to go out on?
I think what comes to mind is that Feist song, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yes,
the iconic
person
bobbing along to an iPod.
1, 2, 3, 4, tell me that you love me more. Sleep.
Amy Wong of Rolling Stone, thanks for this reminiscence.
Thanks so much, Ari. Old teenage hopes are alive at your door.